All right, so it's not Barack Obama's day. It is Hillary Clinton's day after her victory in the New Hampshire primary last night. I suppose Obama can take some solace in the fact that he's on the cover of Newsweek this week. And here's one of the people who contributed to the story on Barack Obama called Inside Obama's Dream Machine, Newsweek's Eleanor Clift. Hi, Eleanor. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I understand you're in an airport in Michigan now.
I am. I actually am in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and heading back to Washington. I had a speaking engagement here that was arranged long before the New Hampshire primary set its date of January 8th. So I caught the returns on my TV and here in Grand Rapids.
Okay. So after seeing what happened yesterday, at what point should Barack Obama start tearing up more often?
I think if he teared up, the punditocracy would say that he was weak. I would not suggest that he tear up. No.
Do you think?
But I think that did play a role, though, in humanizing Hillary Clinton, which is what she apparently needed to do to bring women back into her fold.
I have a theory about what happened in New Hampshire yesterday, and I'm not a paid political pundit as you are, but I think that nobody has been saying what really happened in New Hampshire, which is that it was the independents that made the difference. Because it's an open primary there, and anybody can vote in either party's primary, Barack Obama drew in a lot of independents in Iowa, but in New Hampshire, the independents did have another voice to go to, and they went to John McCain, thus leaving mostly just Democrats voting in the Democratic primary, and they tend to lean towards Hillary Clinton. Am I wrong?
I think that's a pretty good analogy. I haven't seen enough about the exit polls to see how many independents John McCain got, but you're right, he wouldn't have won on the Republican side without the backing of independents. And the assumption was that all the pollsters were making was that the independents would be playing on the Democratic side and not the Republican side. That may have been a mistaken judgment. I think that's a pretty good theory, actually.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
And I haven't heard it anywhere else, so I'm claiming it as my own.
Okay.
Do you think the Clintons were surprised last week by Obama's success in Iowa, and do you think the Obamas were surprised by her success last night in New Hampshire?
Yes, I think the Clintons were stunned that Obama won every demographic except women over 65 in Iowa. And I think the Obama campaign, like everybody else, believed that he was going to win perhaps by double digits. I know all the talk on the cable news networks yesterday was whether Hillary could hold his win down to under double digits, or would she have to drop out before South Carolina. And apparently the internal polling in both campaigns also showed a bigger swing to Obama than actually developed. And, you know, what happened to change people's minds? I know one theory that's going around is that when people got into the voting booth, they had this gut check, and do we really think that Barack Obama is ready to be president? And that was the theme that the Clintons were hammering relentlessly in New Hampshire, and it apparently got through, particularly again among women. I think 57% turnout, 57% of the turnout in New Hampshire was female, and she won them by 12 percentage points.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Eleanor Clift from Newsweek magazine, who contributed to their five-page cover story on Barack Obama. And one of the things that struck me in the story, Eleanor, is that Obama keeps insisting that he will not attack Hillary Clinton. And his advisors have been fighting with him about that for like a year. Do you think he can really stand by that as the campaign goes forward?
Well, the Clintons think that he has been attacking, and I think Bill Clinton, in one of his comments in New Hampshire, you know, basically derided the whole Obama campaign as a fairy tale, because he's presenting himself as something that he isn't, even in suggesting that his position on the war is substantially different than Hillary's. So I think, you know, attacks are in the eyes of the beholder, but I think Obama has shown restraint in the way he goes after Hillary Clinton. I actually think that's wise. And I think that, you know, Hillary has shown restraint in the way she goes after him. I mean, I think overall it's been a pretty civilized debate so far. It could get ugly over the next couple of weeks, however.
Do you think that both of these camps recognize that if they don't win, that the other one would still be historic?
Oh, I think so, yes. I mean, Hillary's win in New Hampshire last night was the first time a woman has won a major party primary. And I imagine you could say the same thing for Barack Obama in Iowa. It's the first time somebody, biracial candidate who identifies as African-American, won a substantial. Well, now that's not true now that I think of it, because Jesse Jackson won, I think, the Wisconsin primary. In
South Carolina. It was South Carolina in 88, yeah.
South Carolina, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's still, I mean, we're going to have history be made, which either of these people win, because, Barack Obama is a very different candidate, obviously, in the way he deals with race than Jackson.
Which do you think is stronger, though? People going to Barack Obama and saying, look, you don't want to be the one who stops the first woman president, or the people saying to Hillary, look, you don't want to be the one who stops the first black president?
I think Hillary, it's a little trickier in how she goes after Barack Obama. I think that Barack Obama, in a way, can look at Hillary not necessarily as historic female trailblazer, but as a member of the Clinton machine, and so he can wrap whatever criticism he has in sort of the cover of the fact that he's going after this establishment machine, and I think that's how he has attacked her, actually.
I noticed that in his speeches, both his victory speech last week and his concession speech last night, that he does make references to the civil rights era, but he doesn't wrap himself in it as Jesse Jackson did, who, of course, is a literal veteran of that era. Is that because he doesn't want to be seen as a black activist in the form of a Jesse Jackson or an Al Sharpton? Is it important for him to show the rest of America that's not the kind of black guy he is?
Well, I think Colin Powell, in a recent interview, put it quite bluntly. He said he's an African-American running for president, not an African-American candidate. That is not his primary identity. And in the racial conflicts that have erupted over the last several months, I mean, he stayed pretty clear. The whole confrontation in Jenna, Louisiana, I think he made some sort of perfunctory statement. The whole controversy over Imus, shock jock, and his comments, I don't know that Barack Obama weighed in substantially on one side of that or the other. He has left those causes to the other, older leaders who I think are from another era.
Do you think it's a generational thing for him also?
I think he's very much playing the generational card, yes. And it's generation in terms of the way he views civil rights. I mean, he does not come out of a, openly segregated America the way some of these other people have. And he's also, he talks about the fierce urgency of now. He's evoking John F. Kennedy, and, the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. So, yeah, I think he's born the tail end of the baby boom. I think he's the last 61. He's the last year of the baby boom generation, but he acts like he's past the baby boomers, like he's a new generation.
I'm going to talk about the Republicans in a second, but I got to ask you one last question about Obama, since you're part of this profile of him in Newsweek, Eleanor. And that is a theory that I've heard today from members of the punditocracy on every side of the political spectrum. And that is that in Iowa, when you caucus, your vote is not a private vote. It's not a secret ballot. Everybody in the room gets to see who you're voting for. And so there might be a feel-good element to voting for Obama, whereas when you go into the ballot booth in New Hampshire, you are truly casting a secret ballot, as most Americans do when they vote in this country, and that there's a different dynamic at play in the booth at that point. What do you think of that theory?
I think that's a possible theory. You could also, flip it around, at least in terms of declaring the public vote, that maybe not everybody would want their neighbors to know they were for Barack Obama, depending on, who you are. But, in Iowa, we're talking about activist Democrats. So, I mean, I kind of can see where standing up for Barack Obama lets you say something, you know, positive about the country, makes you feel good about yourself and the maturation of the country, and in the privacy of your ballot booth. I mean, voting for a woman over an African American, you know, I don't know that that necessarily signals any particular bias.
Yeah, I don't buy the theory either. Personally, but I think it's interesting. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Eleanor Clift from Newsweek magazine. John McCain wins big in New Hampshire last night, but he was supposed to, wasn't he?
Well, supposed to. The buzz was that he had gotten his mojo back and that he was going to win, but if he didn't win, he'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So he not only was supposed to, he had to. But Mitt Romney also was supposed to and had to and didn't. He was from the neighboring state. He'd spent a lot of money there, and you know, a lot of the preliminary analysis said that if Romney didn't win, you know, in neighboring state, where could he win? So, and I think that's a continuing problem for Mr. Romney. And Weekly Standard, a conservative publication, they have an interesting article this week, and they point out that Mitt Romney has everything going for him. He's got, you know, looks and money and brains and talent and a gorgeous family. He's got everything going for him except voters. it's resistance to him, definitely.
Yeah, at a certain point, you know, I said this about John Edwards as well. At a certain point, not winning hurts you. You've got to actually win something along the way, don't you?
I know
Romney won Wyoming, and technically he's actually ahead in the delegate count now, isn't he?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean much, I don't think. Winning Wyoming. No, I don't think anybody else contested there. But John Edwards barely gets mentioned in the storyline. Everybody just expects him to be gone, and then you look up and he's not. He's still there and vowing to fight on. 48 states and 99% of the voters haven't cast their vote. He's got a point, but I think his campaign manager, Joe Trippi, made the comment that they were going to keep hanging around the drain so that when one of the candidates goes down the drain, he would be the alternative. But, you know, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are not going down the drain.
Yeah. As you know, one thing about that being near the drain, sometimes you're the one that gets sucked down.
Right, exactly.
but back to John McCain for a second. The key word in this election thus far by every other candidate, all of the Democrats and several of the Republicans, including Huckabee and Romney, is the word change. If there's one thing John McCain isn't going to be able to stand for and run on, it's the word change, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, he does... He does bring a maverick sense. The Republican Party has been resistant to him because he's been too much change for them. He's been certainly very strong in support of the war, but he's been critical in the way that Bush has prosecuted it. But you're right. I mean, change is not the first word that comes into mind with John McCain. It's really more strength and national security. And, you know, it really kind of depends on what the world circumstances are at the time of voting as to what people are looking for. And somebody suggested to me if it's Obama versus McCain, it would be like Kennedy versus Eisenhower in the sort of the sense of the attributes they bring and the generational gap. So if it's Hillary versus McCain, I think the national security card would be his strongest suit, not necessarily change.
We really have no idea right now who the two candidates are going to be.
Well, we have some idea. We can narrow it down to a pool of 3, 4, or 5.
But this is the most wide open election we've had in a long time because of no incumbent VP or president, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to reading more of what you've got in Newsweek, and I hope to be able to talk to you again as this campaign rolls along.
Terrific. Next week it'll be all about Hillary.
You think so? Are you doing a cover story on Hillary in Newsweek?
I think probably, yes. I mean, fair is fair.
You know what the McCain people are saying now? Well, if fair is fair, how about a Republican?
Well, maybe it'll be a split. I don't know. We'll see.
Eleanor Cliff from Newsweek, live here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX, part of our Decision 2008 coverage.